Blog Talk Radio.
Of Weekdays with Murph. If you haven't noticed already, that was the Magic Milo audio from the A Nurse's Ball episode, and that probably gave away today's guest. So I believe we have him on. So without further ado, let's bring on Drew Cheatwood.
Hello.
Hi, is this Drew?
This is. How are you, Cody?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I didn't know if I hit the right code or sequence, but
yeah.
I guess I did everything necessary to get on the line here. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on today. I know it was kind
of
short notice, but...
No, not at all. I prefer 72 hours and under. That gives me,
right.
I don't overthink it, the interview process, you know.
Oh, I understand that. I understand completely.
No worries, though. Thanks. I appreciate it. This will be fun.
I was just playing that Magic Milo audio, and thanks to my friend Chrissy for that.
Yeah, I was grooving here. I was, like, moving and shaking. I was like, don't stop. But, you know, I guess all good things must come to an end, right?
Right. I wanted to start off, how fun was that to take, that entire stripping sequence?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, where do I begin, I guess? It was great because... I never actually, we rehearsed outside of the studio, which, or not outside of the studio, but, you know, not normal work hours. We came in on mm-hmm. Saturday, and it was just a fun process. The guys that I work with, obviously my brother, and Bradford, and Chad, and Max, and Felix, listen to me, Mark, you know, just awesome, awesome guys, and we had, like, just such an amazing time. Max was so helpful, and we had a great choreographer, and Max was awesome and just helping kind of us guys that don't know count, you know, dance count. It's not that complicated, I get, but, you know, some guys that, you know, he was able to help us out and kind of show us some, you know, Dancing with the Stars secrets. So it was something I will never forget, to be quite honest with you. But it was a great time, and we you know, we would definitely love to do that again in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand. And that brings up my next question. Any backstage antics that you can talk about while filming that? Pranks or anything?
Yeah, gosh, again, where do I begin? We had a good time. We're definitely, we don't take ourselves too seriously. I think maybe you can attest to by watching the nurse's ball portion of our skit. We definitely didn't take ourselves seriously. We had a lot of fun with it. Max is a hoot. He's a guy that we really got to know. I didn't know him prior to all this nurse's ball stuff, but just getting to know him, and, you know, because Bradford's a hoot. My brother's a piece of work. Chad's funny, you know, in his own quiet little way, and, you know, Mark is just awesome. So it was cool getting to know these guys, and through the process of kind of self-humiliation, we're all taking our shirts off and, you know, our pants and stuff, and I'll say there was a couple backstage push-ups. You know, there was kind of one moment where we all were backstage, you know, prior to going out and filming this whole thing, and we all were kind of just, you didn't want to be the first person to drop down and do the push-ups, because you don't want to be that guy where it's like, oh, I got to get a pump on before I go out and, you know, in front of all these people. But I think it was, I want to say it was Bradford or my brother, one of the two, were just like, all right, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to bang out a couple push-ups so I don't look soft or anything. So all before you know it, you know, there's six of us back there just ripping out push-ups, and, you know, we were helping each other do bicep curls. It was a sight to see, for sure. But yeah, it was little things like that that made it really, really fun.
While I was researching for this interview, I ran across something that struck me as a little unconventional, how you landed the role of Milo.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you were working as a personal trainer for the GH staff, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely convoluted. I don't think quite the story out there is not exactly what happened. I will say I kind of grew up in from about 11 years old to about, well, from 11 years old on, when I would visit from Ohio out here. My brother was, you know, came on the show in 2001. My cousin Tyler, plays Nicholas, was on the show in 96. So there was always a reason to, I would be on set. My brother lived with Steve Burton from 96 to, I think, 98, so I would come out, and I knew all the guys. I knew Sean Kanan and Steve Burton. You know, Tyler and Dirk would always take me on set, and so I just kind of got familiar with the people that worked there, and the actors. And so, yeah, when I moved out here in 2003, became a personal trainer and did some extra work. One of the extra jobs I did was on General Hospital. And I just kind of got, familiar with the people. People knew that I trained the actors, so I that led to me training some writers and, you know, et cetera. But nothing I wasn't that wasn't my and I still, you know, I auditioned for them. They always thought, though, they saw the relationship that I had with my brother, and they always thought, hey, you know, one day when, this was prior to me, just before I moved out, I believe, but I came out in 2003, like you said, and I auditioned for Gwen and one of our casting agents there, and yeah, they put me in. I played a cop for them. That was my extra job for a while, and it just kind of, again, the relationship with my brother, they saw was offset was fun. They thought it was cool. A director and I think one of the producers thought it would be cool to write me in. So the assistant head writer Elizabeth Corte wrote me in 2005, and it just started out as, you know, a little. I had one line. I think my first line was in reference to my brother saying something about getting ice cream, and I was like, "Oh, I'll take vanilla," or something. So it started out as just a very small part, and they just made. I didn't know if it was going to be one episode or what, but you know, I think the dynamic that my brother and I have came off on screen, and yeah, it went kind of took on a life of its own from there. But definitely, it started as we didn't know what. And it was definitely unconventional. I didn't just go in through my agent and audition and get the. They wrote me in specifically for Milo because they had a take on what my brother and I, you know, what our dynamic was, which is silly, goofy, real brother angst at times. Oh, I think if I didn't lose you there with that story, that's kind of. See, it takes different paths and turns, and you know. I still had to do all the stuff to get on. I just, you know, happened to be in a place of a relationship they had with, you know, the people there. And then my brother, that relationship definitely helped push the matter into, you know, people's eyes. Yeah. Like, oh, this might be cool to see this on screen.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of your brother, how fun is it to play alongside him every day?
It's awesome. I mean, we definitely don't the opportunities to do this unless you're the Baldwin brothers or Liam Hemsworth, the Hemsworth brothers. You don't get to do it too often, so it's something we never take for granted. It's something we acknowledge quite often, actually, and just say how cool it is to be able to work with each other and have the fun that we do. And there's really, like I said, the angst is real because he has that older brother mentality. So a lot of it is just us being us, and we just layer on some of the dialogue on top of that. But it's cool. It's definitely got a dynamic unlike any of the other characters I work with, just because I grew up with the guy and he taunted me and I fought back and, you know, but then we have that real, we get each other. We have the same sense of humor for the most part. So, yeah, it's awesome.
And I did have a couple of a fun kind of quirky questions for you so the listeners can get to know you more as a person, okay?
Okay.
When were you a bit by the acting bug? What age did you say, you know, this is really something I could see myself doing for a long time?
Is this something I could see? When did I get the acting bug, and could I see myself doing this for a long time?
What age did you say, hey, I could see myself doing this? This is a career path. This is what I want to do.
I would say, hey, I guess I was always enamored with it. I visited out here. I was probably 10 or 11 with my mom, and we went to Universal. My brother took us to Universal Studios, and I remember seeing they drive you around the back lot, and you get to see the Psycho House and Jaws. And I would say subtly, I was it then, just the whole magic and process of filmmaking and how cool it was to see these sets. And I mean, Psycho, I remember like looking at the Psycho House and just being like, wow, the magic. And there's just some kind of allure there with how they make these films, and they did it right here. And so I would say subtly at 10 or 11, I was like, I thought it would be quite cool to be involved with the process and to put something on film and want to watch it, I guess.
Okay. These next two questions I have to ask, all my guests, I just have to ask them. If you could change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
Change one thing about... One thing about my career, and what would it be? I don't want it to sound... this might be, I really don't have anything I would change. This might be a cliche answer, but it holds true for me. Is I think everything that we are and, you know, that we've done in life and goes for acting is kind of the way we are currently. So I wouldn't change really anything. I mean, I'm glad I came out at an early age or young age at 19. I wouldn't change that. The places I've studied and people I've surrounded myself in this business, I wouldn't change. I would say maybe one thing would be to, I got nothing. I mean, of course I would like more, opportunity. I've had kind of some, not the times out here. It's gotten kind of, gets crazy with agents and managers and, mm-hmm. and stuff. I guess having a more clear vision of the people that I need to represent me, I would change. And not that anybody's been bad or anything like that. I think the people that you need to be represented by and how you need to be represented by the relationship and communication you need to have. I wish I was a little more clear, or if I was a little bit more understood that portion of my career more, I think would have been helpful earlier on. But that's probably about it. it's just that understanding, that I would say.
Okay. When you first got to set on your first day as Milo, who came up to you and said, you know, got your back, you can do this, you got this, you know?
On my first day?
Mm-hmm.
First day was, it was kind of a blur, to be honest, but I remember I worked with my brother and Maurice, and I think they were both kind of in unison with that. It was like, you know, kind of a pat on the back and kind of like, hey, you got one line, don't screw it up, kind of thing. So they were just, you know, they're ball busters and in that sense. So they weren't like, they didn't need to like sit me down and, you know, tell me it was going to be fine. But in their own way, they were like, hey, man, let's just have fun with it. And, you know, it'll be, we'll have a good time. And so, yeah, I would say Maurice and my brother were two, in a ball busting way, were very encouraging.
Away from the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, what's the real Drew Cheatwood like?
I would say I'm a very big family man. I just had a daughter 6 weeks ago, and my wife and I are ecstatic about her. I'm a homebody. We're homebodies. I love Ohio State football or sports in general. You know, from Bowling Green, Ohio, so very at the follower of Ohio State anything, but like sports, movies. I really like to just be around our two dogs and maybe mix it up a little bit in the on the court, play some basketball at a park near our house on the weekends, and really just kind of a simple guy, really. I like, you know, give me a TV with Ohio State football and my family with me, and I'm a happy guy.
Do you have any hidden talents that you can talk about and share?
Hidden talents. I can see here. I can do one arm push. Wait, no, you didn't mean that. I can do one arm push ups, but yeah, that's been seen. That was my one skill, the one hidden secret skill I could do, but now everybody knows because. Because Milo dropped and did a couple one-arm push-ups. I guess I'm a black belt in Hapkido. I take martial arts, take it pretty seriously. I really enjoy it. I think I secretly started taking it just so that my brother would never have to, you know, he could never do any moves on me again. And I think subtly over the years, I was like, I'm going to get into martial arts, and I'm going to take it so that if Max ever comes, you know, even though he slaps me upside the head, you know, half the time anyway, I can get him in some kind of pressure, joint lock or something, and really put it to him. So I could take Max through or my brother through Hapkido. I got a few joint locks and pressure points that I can buckle them in a second. Does that count as a hidden talent?
I guess. what's currently on your DVR and your iPod right now?
DVR, man, I love the show Dexter. We got a dog named Dexter after the show, favorite show. Love Walking Dead, Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is... If the show could get better, that and Dexter, I don't know how it's possible. We got Dog Whisperer going on there. We got 30 for 30 series on ESPN. Notorious, I like, you know, A&E, but in the biography channels. So those kind of like murder mysteries and so, you know, Dateline 2020. Bill Maher, worse goes on. I got probably too many DVR shows. I can't keep up. and then the iPod, loving Jay-Z right now. Like, I didn't think I was such a big Jay-Z fan, and all of a sudden I got this Pandora station, and it's just been on Jay-Z, and it's just digging it. I don't know what's going on. But Jay-Z, definitely love Led Zeppelin, and Metallica has been big stuff going right now. I got a home gym. I built a gym in my garage, so I'm just, you know, blasting my stuff in there, and it's great because I can play all my own music. So that and the Shins, and yeah, this goes on there too. This could be a all day conversation in and of itself.
I'm a big music fan too. So there you go.
Yeah, what do you got? What's your from the hips? What's your top three?
Good Lord. way too many to name, to be honest with you.
Right? It's hard.
Way too many to name.
I'm with you. All right, I won't put you on the spot, but yeah.
But right now, I'm kind of... And I'm kind of... embarrassed to say this, but I'm kind of digging a Fall Out Boy's new song... my song, You Know What You Did in the Dark.
Who is it by?
Fall Out Boy.
Oh, Fall Out Boy. Oh, okay. I'm not too familiar with the... I'm sure I've heard it, but just by the description, I'm not sure. But that's nothing to be embarrassed. If you said, like, Spice Girls or something, then I'd be like, hey, Cody, come on, man. You can't say that.
Yeah, that would be a little weird. That would be a little weird, I got to admit.
I think some of those 90s tunes that come back sometimes are just like, you know, it feels good to just sing sometimes, let it out. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And I've always found this weird about music. A song, like I'm just making this up, anything from NSYNC or whatever, okay?
NSYNC?
Yeah. you'd play that then, they'd be like, oh my God, why are you playing this? But now, they play it like at a club or something, and the whole place goes nuts.
Yeah. It's like one of those kind of like ironic things now where it's like, oh, it was cool and maybe not so cool, and then now it's back.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of one of those ironic, it's cool now. But then again, Justin Timberlake was a part of it, so hello.
True.
You can't not like it.
This is true. This is very true.
Right?
And while we're on the subject of music, what is the last song that you bought on iTunes?
What was the last one? Probably, yeah, I'm on Spotify now, so now I just get songs left and right because I'm not
right.
Spotify works, but you just pay one fee a monthly. But, man, I would probably say something by Jay-Z. Go figure. Probably like that song Power he sings. It's in like every preview now. I think any movie preview with Jay-Z in it just gets infinitely better. Like, you just want to see that movie. I mean, they could put it on, I was going to say Fast and Furious 6, but I want to see that anyway. but they could put it on some movie I just have no interest in. Like, I hate supernatural movies because they just terrify me. Just super freaked out by them. But they could put a Jay-Z song on, like, some movie like Insidious, and I'd be like, I'm probably going to go see Insidious because Jay-Z makes it sound awesome. That's my take.
I did have a couple of questions from a fans on Twitter. If you're, up for it.
Sure.
Okay. This comes from a Nancy, and I think we've already covered it, but she says, did you always want to be an actor and envision yourself doing that?
No, I didn't always want. I wanted to be an athlete first and foremost. I wanted to be a professional athlete. I was a pretty good football, baseball, basketball player, and I focused on baseball and football later on in life. And I actually walked on to my college at Bowling Green State University, walked on football, made the team. I was set to play for them in the fall, and I, long story short, I just ended up not, my heart wasn't fully invested. I knew that I needed to have, you know, fully invested to play at that level. So I ended up packing my bags and moving out here. In 2003, and kind of never looked back. So I would say first and foremost, I wanted to be an athlete, but after my athletic career ended, then I knew that my avenue was to entertain people in just a different format. So not always, but once I knew, I knew.
Nice. And we have one from a Dom. He says,
Dominic Sanfrongo?
Another Dom.
Okay, okay.
do you have any advice to anybody that wants to get into soap acting?
I would approach it as getting into any other avenue of entertainment or. I guess more specifically, with wanting to do anything that's worthwhile to you in life, is just get involved in classes, get involved with the industry, and take casting director workshops. If you're talking specifically for soaps, of course you want to maybe find casting director workshops that have soap opera casting directors, obviously. But I would say just get involved, start learning, taking improv class, and start taking, see what format works best for you, and just take it, work on something every day to to, you know, kind of get your foot in the door and meet people. Always be humble and nice to everyone you meet, I guess, just because that's helpful in life. So it could be helpful, I think, towards your career.
Mm-hmm. We're almost out of time, so I wanted to thank you for taking the time to do this, and you have a open invitation back to the show whenever you want to come on, okay?
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you having me. It's been a pleasure. So, yeah, likewise, anytime you want to do this again, you know my Twitter handle.
Yeah. All right.
All right,
Drew.
I appreciate it, Cody. Take care of yourself, right, and talk to him.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. See you, bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our little fun chat with Magic Milo, a.k.a. Drew Cheatwood. As always, I always invite my guest back, so we'll have him back sometime in the summer or fall or something. So, with that said, you've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.